Aleluya.
One, two. There we go. I'm just glad I could get that turned on. I'm so glad you're here tonight, Pastor Ronnie, Pastor Kim. Thank y'all so much for letting me speak tonight. I consider it such a privilege to get to come up here and deliver God's word. And I'm so excited that you're here tonight. I think that God is going to do some amazing things tonight. I'm trying to get all my papers spread out and everything good, but we're perfect. Thank God we got a big podium. I'm happy about that. I'm so glad that y'all are here, though. It's going to be a good night. I hope everybody's got some rest and you're feeling good and you're ready to roll. Because here's the deal. If I come on a Sunday night, I want my life to be different. If you come, I want your life to be different whenever you leave out of here than whenever you came in. Because here's the deal. If we're all just going to get together to hang out and stuff, you know what? That's cool, and I like hanging out with y'all, and y'all are fun. But you know what? I want God to change my heart. I want Him to do some things in me that only He can do. So I want y'all to have that same expectancy tonight as we jump into this and already been in the presence of God with amazing worship and all that. So let me go ahead and bring my title to you tonight. And it's the title of it, Is God Big Enough? And I know what you must be thinking, this is a weird title for a message. Is God big enough? Because we have the mindset a lot of times that God is just huge, and He is. He's the creator of the universe. But let's go a little bit deeper into it, and we'll bring into focus more what I'm talking about here. So many times, believers can get focused on how God is moving in someone else's life where there is jealousy that will come over them. Who's ever felt like that before? I know I have. God, you're moving in this person's life. How come it's not happening in mine? It's easy to get that way. So I think we can all probably say to some degree we have felt like this. Maybe you feel like that now. And I know I've had to be on purpose about not getting over into this camp of jealousy. And this feeling will many times come from an orphan mentality of thinking that you don't have a heavenly Father that loves you and that's crazy about you. I want you to know that if you're hearing this tonight or if you're watching online, you have a heavenly Father who loves you and is crazy about you and wants the very best for you. And this feeling will many times come from that mentality, but your heavenly Father delights in giving you good things. In Matthew 7:11, it says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask of Him? If you are a child of God, your heavenly Father, that's so much better than we can ever imagine being. The amazing thing is that many times we get a perception of God by how our earthly father was. And I had a good dad, but you know what? He had some flaws. Can I tell you what? Our heavenly Father doesn't have any flaws. He's always ready to listen to you. He never has a short temper or anything like that. You know what? I try and be the best dad that I can to Emma and Hannah, my girls, mine and Mary Helen's girls. She had a part in that too. They're not just mine. But, you know, I try and be the best dad I can, but I come up short sometimes. There's been times I've had to say I'm sorry to them, ask them to forgive me and stuff like that. But they're very gracious whenever it comes to that. But I want to portray who God is through my life to them. And the amazing thing is that the Bible teaches us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8 tells us that. So we can agree that God's love is amazing. So why do we have that mentality sometimes that God may not be big enough to do for me if He's busy doing something for somebody else? And tonight I want to dissect a narrative and see what steps we can do to not let bitterness and jealousy rest in our hearts. I want you to know that if you're under the sound of my voice, God loves you and He wants you to bring, or He wants to bring you into that intimate relationship with Him. Let's look at this real quick. Luke 8:40-44 says, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for Him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with Him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. And a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding and could find no cure, coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. My first point tonight is don't let other people receiving a miracle keep you from yours. So let's look at this. You got a girl who's dying. That is a huge deal. And you've got another lady who's been sick for 12 years. If I'm sick for more than like 2 or 3 days with a cold, it affects me. It frustrates me. I'm not a happy camper. My wife says I can be a sissy sometimes when I'm sick. Maybe some of you other ladies can identify with other men in your life that we just don't do good being sick. I hate being sick. I want to be up doing things. You know, before, whenever I was driving a truck and stuff, you would, or just in different jobs, you would have people that would call in sick all the time. And, you know, you're just kind of thinking, why in the world? I would rather be at work than at home sick, you know. And I know that they're doing that just to get the day off and stuff. But I don't want us to live like that. I want us to be able to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, and calling in sick if you're not sick isn't pleasing to God. I'll just tell you that. I'm sorry. It's just one of my pet peeves from back in the day. Lord help me. Okay. So it was a big deal. You got this sick lady and you got this lady, this girl that's dying. And the woman who's been sick, it was such a huge deal. It wasn't like she just had a cold. Throw her some cough medicine, some cold medicine, say you'll be good in a couple days. 12 years, y'all. Can we just kind of think about that? Think about how many days are in a year. 365, multiply that times 12. It's a big number. This woman had been sick for a while. If y'all thought I could do that in my head, y'all think way more highly of me than what I can. I'm kidding. Math was never my strongest point in school. But she had been sick for a long time. But she had the faith to press through the crowd, receive her healing. But let's focus back on Jairus here, because that's kind of where I want to go to tonight. The Bible says he fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him. He was in a desperate situation. Think of a desperate situation in your life where you have been just on your knees before God. Remember this, in your desperation, Jesus knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're facing. I know for me, there was a particular issue that I struggled with for a long time. Loving Jesus, wanting to walk in freedom. And I would see friends of mine walking in freedom from this thing. And it always bothered me. It was like, Lord, how come they're experiencing freedom here and I'm not? But can I tell you what? I love that scripture. And it seems like we've just been... it's been going over Romans 8:28. Theresa talked about it the other night with just a whole dissection of Romans, and then Pastor Ronnie hit it again this morning. It says that God works all things together for the good of those that love him. It doesn't say, and I love what Pastor Ronnie said this morning, it doesn't say that all those things were good, but can I tell you what? In the process of God setting me free from this issue that I'd been struggling with, I learned so much about God's character. I learned not only that, but I learned that I can't just do part of what the Bible says. I've got to do all of it. Because I'll be honest with you, that part in James where it says, confess your faults one to another, pray for each other so you can be healed. That was not easy for me to do, but I've experienced such freedom through doing what the Bible says. Notice it says one to another right there. It doesn't say blast it out to everybody. And we talked about this in class, I think, this morning. If somebody brings you something that they're going through, don't blast it all over the place. That person believed in you enough to bring it to you, so keep it between you and them. So let's let God take away this orphan mentality and realize that if you've said yes to Jesus, you are his beloved child. And when I get wrapped up in his beloved identity, I don't have to be jealous over someone else receiving a miracle. I can celebrate it. And when we begin to celebrate other people's victories, God can bring us our own. Don't ever get focused in a bad way on what God is doing in someone else's life, but be able to celebrate that with them. Be able to encourage them. Be able to just rejoice with them. Because it is so important that we do that. And in the midst of doing that, we'll see God come through in our own lives, I believe. Many times, you know, I think it's hard for God to bless us if we have a jealousy mentality. If we're just so focused on what's going on in somebody else's life and just asking God, why? Why can't we rejoice with those people instead of just questioning God so much and just getting so focused on that? Remember this also, praise precedes the victory. You look at Paul and Silas in prison. There were two guys, you can read through it. But the Bible says that they praised God whenever they were locked up in the dungeon. And I don't think that they were just singing songs here. I think they were praising God for his faithfulness. You know what? Whenever I see somebody else come into a blessing or something, maybe even that I've been praying about, but they get blessed with it, if I can begin to thank God for that, what He's done in that person, I believe God can move in my life too. I believe that that changes my perspective to where I'm not being so me-focused, but I'm being others-focused. And that's what God wants us to be. Heard a cool acronym. I don't remember how long ago it was, but basically the acronym for joy, Jesus, others, and you last. So if we can put others before ourselves, man, God can do amazing things. So I don't think that Paul and Silas were just singing songs to Him. I think they were praising God for things that they have experienced. And I want to give you permission. Make up your own song. Make up your own song. You may say, Cody, that sounds extremely weird. I know, but I do it. And my wife laughs at me because I will start one song and then put another song right with it. And then I'll run out of lines on that song and I'll stick another song with it. So can I tell you what? God cares more about what's in your heart than what you sound like. So I want to encourage all of us. Challenge for the week. This is early to be given a challenge, but it's okay. Challenge for the week is whenever you get out of here and tomorrow morning you start praising God for some things He's done. You start thanking Him for what He's doing right now, and you start thanking Him for what He's going to do. Because He has good things ahead for us. And you know what? Even in the middle of bad things happening, just remembering last time I preached a message and I hit sort of on this point, I had a flat tire the next morning. So, Lord, don't let me get a flat tire on the way home. But anyway, in the middle of even bad things happening, I can still declare God's goodness. I can still declare that He is God over any situation that we face. Because that's what Paul and Silas were doing. They were declaring His goodness. And when I praise God, my circumstances may not change, but my perspective will. Your circumstances may not change immediately, but you know what? Your perspective of who God is will. Whenever I begin to glorify Him and I begin to magnify Him above everything that I face, man, it changes everything. Because God is huge and He is big enough to change the big circumstances that we go through and the small circumstances. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So rejoice when other people receive victories. Think about it like this. In sports, I played football growing up, and it wasn't just the running back or tailback that got the points. It was the whole team. You know, we all scored. And the same thing in any type of team sports. Can I tell you what? Whenever I hear a victory happen in somebody else's life, whenever Lisa T posts about a job, having a chance, lost a job, and then having a chance to choose from two different jobs, that's a victory right there. That's something we can be excited about. Praise God. But you know what? I know her well enough to know that she never lets her circumstances dictate how she is. I know her well enough to know that, you know what, no matter what the circumstances is, she's going to be declaring God's word. So I want to challenge each one of us, declare God's word. If you're in need of a job, begin to declare, Lord, that You're my provider. I don't know how You're going to do it, but You're going to do it. If you're in need of healing, Lord, You're my healer. Your word says that by Your stripes I was healed. And whenever you begin to do this, your perspective will shift, and you will begin to see God for who He really is and how much He really cares about you. So we are in this together with each other. We are for each other. Open Door will not be a church where there is division, where there is backbiting and back talking and all that. We are going to be in it together with each other, and we will celebrate each other's victories. Whoever's beside you, say, we're in it together. We're in it together. You can do that. It's all right. I like the interaction. Y'all are being awesome tonight. Number two. Let your hope be found in Jesus' promise. Let's go a little bit further in this story. Luke 8, 49 through 50. While He was still speaking to her, a messenger, this is the woman that was sick with the issue of blood, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher. Okay. Let me stand right here. I think this is a safe spot. Let's go back, see what happens. Okay, we're good. Cool. All right. While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith. She will be healed." Notice that was speaking in future tense. Can I tell you what? Sometimes a situation looks dead until Jesus gets involved in it. Changes that whole situation. So just because a situation may look dead, Jesus can resurrect those things. So don't be afraid. Just have faith. She will be healed. But Jairus, he still had to walk the rest of the way home, and he could have easily become discouraged because of the news of his daughter passing. Y'all, that's something that it would be very... Discouragement is an understatement. I couldn't imagine having to face that. But he could have easily become discouraged. But I believe Jairus held on to Jesus' words, "Don't be afraid, just have faith. She will be healed." Notice the last part, like I said, is in future tense. And there may be things that you're wondering why God hasn't moved in. Maybe it's a particular situation in your life. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's a family situation, whatever you name it. And you're wondering, why has God not moved? Can I tell you what? That God works behind the scenes. A lot of times he is moving in the background, doing things that we cannot imagine. But whenever we trust him, we allow him to be able to do those things. We free up God's hands. How many of y'all are like me and you kind of like to control things just a little bit? I know I am. I'll be honest with you. I want it done like this. I want this to fall into place and I want this to happen. But God sometimes is saying, sit back and relax, Jack. Let me do it. So what has the Lord spoken to you about a certain issue or something that you've been praying about? I promise you, God has not forgotten this. So many times, because it's not happening as fast as we think it should be, we get upset. But when Jesus comes into the situation, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Jesus changes those situations. I remember not too long ago, I had a situation with a family member, and me and this person had not gotten along the very best the last time I'd seen him. Has anybody else ever had family issues like that besides me? Okay, good. Sometimes I just like to communicate with y'all because, Miss Linda, I love you. I'm looking at Linda's. Linda's going, "No, my family's great." But anyway, I like to communicate back and forth so we can all see that we're on the same page and we're all walking this thing out together. But there was a family member that we had not just gotten along great. But can I tell you what? We prayed about it. Had some other folks with me praying about it. And there was a situation that had happened, and I felt like I needed to be there to help out with it. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to. I was like, "Nah, I'm good. I've got work to do. I just started up at the church. I can't take off a day." Well, then it happened on a Friday, and typically we're off on Fridays, even though sometimes you still wind up coming up here and doing stuff. Y'all, there was no excuse. And God really just kind of dealt with me on it. And I prayed about it. And I had some other people praying with me. Felt the peace of God. I wish I could tell you that this person received Jesus as their Lord and Savior and their life was changed. But that did not happen that day. So what did happen, though, we had a peaceful ride back. And it went better than I could have ever expected. Because I let Jesus get involved in that situation. And it's tough because sometimes we wonder, "God, how are you going to show up here?" But as what I've learned is that if I simply trust God to come in and do what only he can do, he'll take care of it. It may not be the way I understand it or the way that I plan on it happening, but God's ways are so much better than my ways. And with this person, it was a peaceful time. So when you pray, let God know exactly how you feel. He already knows exactly how you feel. Talk to your Heavenly Father. He loves you. He's crazy about you. It's not going to shock him if you say, "God, I really don't want to do this. This is not comfortable for me." It does not shock him. He doesn't get his feelings hurt and things like that. I think it hurts God more whenever we don't say anything to him. You know? I tell you, I love it so much when my girls come up to me and they just want to talk. They want to hang out. One of the things that we do at nighttime is we always watch Jesus Loves Me. And then I kiss them, we pray, and then I kiss them, and Mary Helen takes Hannah to bed, and then Emma climbs up in the recliner with me, and we sit there and watch Jeep videos on YouTube, which is great, but now she's wanting a Jeep when she starts driving, and Jeeps are not exactly the cheapest vehicle, so I think I kind of shot myself in the foot on that one, but we'll figure it out. I believe God will bless us somehow with that. Give us a great deal. But anyway, and a lot of times whenever she's up there with me or Hannah's up there with me, you know, they may be talking about just crazy, goofy stuff, but I love to hear them. Can I tell you what? God loves to hear you talk to him. He wants to know about your day. And like I said, he already knows it, but it's just something to communicate with him. And the thing is I think so many times we can get almost with the mentality of, you know what, God's got a lot going on. He really doesn't want to hear about me. Now, I can tell you what, God does want to hear about you. He wants to know what you're facing. He wants to know what's going on in your heart. He wants to know how you're feeling about a certain situation. If I go to the doctor and I'm telling him, and I'm not telling him what's wrong with me, he can't come in and fix what's wrong with me. It's the same thing with God. If I'm not talking to him and letting him know about what's going on in here, he can't come in and adjust what he needs to adjust. And we want God to be able to come into our lives, adjust what needs to be adjusted so that we can rest in his goodness. And the thing is that whenever we rest in his goodness and we get to know about his promises, and I rattled a few of them off, we get to know who God really is, what his character is like. So how do we know the things that God has promised us? It's called our Bible. We have the Word of God in our hands. Many of us have it on our phones, or you've got it in an actual paper Bible. And I know that I can pray and believe God for healing because his Word says so. I know that I can pray and believe God for provision because his Word says so. I know that I can pray for God's perfect peace over my life or over somebody else because his Word says so. And I want to challenge you tonight, if you're not reading in your Bible consistently, start tonight. The book of John is a great place. Start with one chapter, and I believe that God will increase it to more and more. And you may come across some things that you don't understand. It's okay, but write them down. Ask somebody about them. And I still come across things that I don't understand. It's okay, because here's the thing. There will be many more things that you do understand than what you don't understand. But you know what? As I've read my Bible, I've seen how Jesus truly loves people. And I've seen how much he loves people enough to not let them continue living in sin, but to see life change happen. One of my favorite stories is the woman caught in the act of adultery. And I love it because you got all these religious people ready to stone this girl. And I could just imagine how she felt, you know, being exposed right there in front of everybody. And then Jesus said, okay, those of y'all without sin, throw the first stone. And I believe that you could probably hear the stones start dropping. Doom, doom, doom. And then Jesus looks up and he goes, where are your condemners? She said, there are none, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, Jesus didn't love this woman just enough to offer that to her, but to also give her the direction to say, go and sin no more. Remember this, with every inward revelation, I believe that there's an outward manifestation that goes on. Whenever God changes us on the inside, it's going to change our actions. It's going to change the way we talk. We're not going to be able to live the same way, not because, you know, we're trying to work our way to get to God, but whenever my heart changes, you know what? It changes me. I remember back whenever I gave my heart to the Lord, I had been a sailor, not really, just in my mouth. And that was something, y'all thought, man, was he in the Navy? No. But that was something that God really helped me with. Just immediately, it was one of those things that God began to change very quickly. There were other things, though, that, you know what, it took a while. It was a process for God to come in and change those things. And can I tell you what? Even in the process, everybody look up here. Even in the process, God is still working. Don't quit in the process. Many times there's a promise and there's process. Sometimes your process may be this long. Sometimes it may be like way that long. How many of y'all feel like you're in that process? I know I have before. But we're all in process to some degree. And then after we get done with the process, we see God's word come to pass and things like that. So embrace the process. Let God work in you what he wants to in that process. So begin reading your Bible and begin learning about who God really is. Don't just take my word for it. I want you to experience it for yourself. Now, I'm not going to lie to you or anything. I'm going to give you the truth about who God is. But I want you to experience it for yourself. So there's been times I've been reading the Bible and there's a particular scripture or whatever that just really stands out to me, really speaks to me, really changes my heart. And God brings correction in my life. Can I tell you what? Correction isn't a bad thing. Correction just means that God loves you. He doesn't want you to keep on living a path that is destructive. Because if we keep on living destructively, it's not good for us or anybody around us. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture has value. Let God begin to open that up to you. And as you begin to open up the Word of God and you begin to read, I believe God will speak to your heart. Write down some things that He's speaking to you. You might be surprised. God may begin to put a passion in you for an area of ministry that you didn't even know was there. God might begin to tell you, I need you to start reaching out to this person that you work with. Whatever it may be, but it's so important that we take in that scripture. Number three, don't look at circumstances, look at Jesus. Luke 8:51-56 says, when they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, stop the weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. And then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, my child, get up. And at that moment, her life returned, and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. And it is so easy to look at circumstances. Think about how Jairus felt whenever the crowd began to laugh. I don't know if I've ever read that and thought about how he felt. I would probably punch somebody. Honestly, if one of my girls had died and I was with Jesus and he said, we're going to go resurrect him and I'm going to bring him back to life, and then this crowd started laughing, yeah, I probably would. That would just be heartbreaking right there. But the thing is that Jairus held on to what Jesus had told him. Are you holding on to some things that Jesus has told you? Are you holding on to some things that, you know what, circumstantially, it doesn't look like it's going so good? Here's the thing. If we hold on to those things, even whenever things don't look like they're going good, God can keep on moving. And I want to encourage you to hold on to those things, because I believe that there are dreams that God has put in your heart. I believe every one of us in here probably have some type of dream where God is going to move and do some powerful things. And one other thing, too, just kind of a side note, but be careful who you share things with. There are dream killers out there. You know, I believe in big dreams, though. I want to see God do some amazing things in Waco. But you got to be careful about who you share things with. I'm careful because, you know what, I don't want any discouragement coming into my life. And if there is somebody who's going to bring discouragement, I'm not going to sit there and let them speak that discouragement over me, because whatever you listen to long enough, you're going to start following that direction. So I'm on purpose about not listening to those things. But find people full of faith and ready to believe with you. In every service, we have altar team members that are ready to pray with you. There are people that are full of faith, and they're going to believe with you. So to answer our question about, is he big enough? Yes, he is big enough. Danny, if you want to go ahead and start making your way up here. He is big enough to do a miracle for someone else and do one for you as well. What miracles have you given up? What miracles have you let fall aside? What was it that maybe you looked at and you said, God, you're moving in this person's life, but honestly, this is just kind of hurting me right now to keep on believing it. So, Lord, I'm not going to think about it anymore. I believe God wants to resurrect those things. And I'm getting ready to back this trailer up and put it up against the dock right now. You know what's the most important thing about the end of the day? I used to drive a truck, so let me tell you what. You could make 20 deliveries all day long, but if you backed your trailer up and you put it up against the dock and you forgot to put the landing gear down or disconnect the airlines, it's a bad day. Can I tell you what? With this message tonight, you're about to have a chance to make a choice. The last part of a truck driver's day is the most important. Will they do these last two steps correctly? The last part of your day right now in this service is important. I believe there's many of you that are walking with Jesus. Maybe there's some that's not. For the first time that I came here, it was on a Sunday night, and I just began a relationship with Jesus. But it changed my life. So if I can get the altar team to go ahead and come on up here, and if y'all want to go ahead and stand up as the worship team begins. Because you're about to have an opportunity for the most important decision you'll ever make, which is making Jesus Lord of your life. Because here's the deal, we don't all automatically get to heaven because we live in Texas. I do believe that God loves Texas, but it doesn't get us to heaven. We make it to heaven by having that intimate relationship with Jesus. And this is something that no one else can do for you. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that blows me away to think that God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us. But it's a choice that we all have to make individually to put our trust and our confidence in Jesus and what he did on the cross, because our sin separates us from God. But the beautiful thing about it is whenever we put our trust and our confidence in him and he comes in and lives in our heart, he changes us. And it begins a process in our lives from the inside out where God's doing the work and we're simply worshiping him. Y'all, that's why I worship the way I do, because I still got things that I want God to change in me. So if you have never made that choice to put your trust and confidence in your life in Jesus and invite him into your heart, receive him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to make your way up here tonight. The second thing, if you have gotten over, and this is a safe place, I want you to know that. We can all be real with each other here. But maybe you've gotten over into that camp of jealousy, noticing what God's doing for other people, and you've forgotten about the dreams that he's placed in your heart. I want you to make your way up here and bring that to the Lord. Let him do some readjusting. Somebody might pray with you, they might not. But you know what? I want all of us to walk out of here right and believing God that he is going to do amazing things in our life. So y'all go ahead. First one, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life and you want to do that. Second one, if you've dropped some dreams and you want somebody to agree with you that you're going to pick them up and that you're going to walk forward in his power and his presence, I want you to make your way up here as well.